thank you, Lord, for another day. You've given me so much. Nothing to you could I ever repay. Nothing would be enough. You died for me, paid the price for sin. Every battle you've helped me win. I could thank you for eternity, for all the things you've given me.
Been good, so I'll thank him as I should. He's been by my side and been my helpful guide. Though I stumble and fall, he hears me when I call. There are no words to describe how the Lord's been good all my life.
Mercies are brand new each day. I feel his warm embrace. He's given me unending love and watches me from up above. Because of what I have done, he gave me his only son.
The Lord has been good, so I'll thank him as I should. He's been by my side and been my helpful guide. Though I stumble and fall, he hears me when I call. There are no words to describe how the Lord's been good all my life. Though I stumble and fall, he hears me when I call. There are no words to describe how the Lord's been good all my life. Yes, the Lord has been good.
He'll always be good.
The Lord has been good all my life.
That the Lord's been good, hasn't he? Amen. Thank you for that, young people, for all that you've done with the service tonight. We look forward to our school nights, and especially this one for some reason as well. Take your Bibles and let's turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter number 12. And when you find that, as you're able, would you stand to your feet as we read from the Word of God tonight? Romans chapter 12 and verse number 17. Romans chapter 12 and verse number 17. I mentioned this morning my family's been getting through a cold, which I think many I've heard of have had that same situation. So my voice is not quite there, but I'm here and getting through it somehow. So bear with me if you would, please. So if my voice cracks, no, I'm not going through puberty again. Just enjoying that cold situation. So Romans 12 and verse number 17, we'll read down to verse number 21. The Bible says, "Recompense to no man evil for evil, providing things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this night. Thank you for this service meeting with us already. Pray that you would help, Lord, capture our attention and our hearts, speak to our hearts, and help us to be more like you, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. As we enter the holiday season, I want to give you a challenge to our church family. I know we have guests here tonight, and so we appreciate you being here as well. I want to give you a challenge tonight about keeping peace during the holidays. It's holiday season, And I look forward to the holidays for many reasons, but I enjoy getting all that we get to do with the holidays, the eating, the family, the food, the football, whatever comes your way, and some extra time of rest and things like that as you're able. Growing up, the holidays for us was always going to my grandparents' house, and they lived out in the boonies. And for those of you that don't know what that is, it means out in the sticks. They live far away from anything, and we'd always go to their house for Thanksgiving, Christmas, and it was always a packed house. We, with our holidays with our family, it's never less than like 30 people. That's usually where it starts, and then it grows from there. And I'm just kind of used to having a big crowded house and a lot of commotion and more food than you could ever eat and a lot of noise and commotion and stuff, and I enjoy that. That's how our holidays have always been growing up and how they still are. Since my grandparents have gone to heaven, now the holidays moved to my parents' house, so we get to enjoy getting to spend time with everyone during Thanksgiving holiday times and Christmas and all that. We do, as some of you do, as a younger, I don't know if I can say young married couple, younger married couple, and we'll go and visit certain parents on Thanksgiving and Christmas, and thankfully our parents are within a couple of hours of here. My parents are a couple hours from here. My wife's parents, of course, are here. So we rotate going back and forth on the holidays, and I'm sure many of you, whether you're going to see family or they're coming here, I always look forward to that time to get together. As a child, though, I was a little bit naive, I should say. I enjoyed all the fun and the games and all the stuff that we did and lots of good memories, but I was naive and thankful for some of the things that I did. You don't know when you're a child, and you just get the joy of just showing up and getting to have some fun and playing around, but many times the holidays bring up some difficult situations with family, with friends, or people that you may get around. For some, it may be that some family is lost, and they don't know the Lord, and so trying to expect a lost person to live and act like a Christian is not a reasonable assumption. Doesn't mean we should lower our convictions, but just understanding lost people are lost people, whether it be family, friends, or whatnot. Some have walked away from the Lord, and that can make for difficult situations. Some have hurt someone in the family, and that can make for a tricky situation. And maybe someone in the family doesn't talk to someone else in the family, and you go to the same family function, and they sit on opposite sides of the room, and you can cut the tension at times. You know what I'm talking about. Nod your head. I'm not the only one there. All right? And there's different situations that come up, and I want to just give you a challenge. The Bible says in verse number 18 in this passage, it says this: if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. You say, well, that first phrase took me out of it. If it's possible. It's not possible to live peaceably with so-and-so, with uncle so-and-so or grandma so-and-so and whoever it may be. I want to look at this for a minute about keeping peace during the holidays, what our part is as a Christian about having a good testimony, doing right, and keeping that right with others. Now, first of all, it says this, if it be possible, understanding that some things are out of your control, right? Some things are out of your control on what people say and do and things of that nature. We'll get to some more specifics on that in a little bit. But what is within your control, we should control, and that is what I can do for myself and my family. Some things are out of your control, if it be possible. And there is possibilities of what we can do to try to keep the peace, keeping a right testimony. The Bible says, as much as lieth in you. As much as lieth in you. Many times it's easy to pass the blame on others and say, well, what they did and what they said and if they did this. And we want to pass the blame and say, well, because they did that, now I get to act however I want. Well, doesn't give us the freedom and a blank check to go and do and say whatever we want. But it says, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, do what you can. You do your part. I can't do their part, but I can do my part to live peaceably with all men. And that's the last phrase here. Don't worry, that's not the end of the message. To live peaceably with all men. Again, some you may say, well, I can't live peaceably with this person. You may have a name or a picture of someone in your mind, of someone you think, man, there is no one that could live peaceably with uncle, whoever it may be, and they just want to give everyone a difficult time. But to live peaceably, the Bible says, with all men. I want to give you a few practical thoughts tonight, church families. We get ready for the holiday season. We will have our midweek service on Tuesday of this week, not Wednesday, but what day? Tuesday, there, maybe you'll remember and maybe I'll remember now. And so Tuesday of this week is our midweek service for those that are traveling for the holidays, as we will and others as well. A couple thoughts tonight about keeping peace during the holidays. Number one is this: walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. You know, Christian, again, I cannot control what anyone else does, but you know what I can control is me. I can control me. I can control my actions, my spirit, my words. Walk in the Spirit. Galatians 5:16 says this: "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." You and I have a choice to make every single day, Christian, that you walk with God and you walk in the Spirit, or you choose to not walk with God. And the only other option of walking in the Spirit, the other side, is to walk in the flesh. Two Wednesdays ago now, Brother Seth preached a great message on Wednesday night. I got to listen to that the other day. But I started preaching a message on Wednesday nights about walking in the Spirit and the fruits of the Spirit. But I want to challenge you, Christian. It's so important during the holiday season. Sometimes you get out of your schedule, your routine. You go to other places. You have to work so hard at protecting your time with God. That every day you have to work at getting alone with God, no matter where you are, who's in the house, whatever commotion's going on, and get alone with God and spend time in Bible and prayer every single day. We must walk with God. Without walking with God, we cannot walk in the Spirit. And I think that's a problem that many Christians have. We're trying to work on having the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, won't quote the rest of the list. But we want to have the fruit of the Spirit, but we don't want to walk in the Spirit. I want the benefits of walking with God, but I don't want the work of walking with God. You know, every day you have to fight the flesh. The flesh does not want to spend time in your Bible. The flesh does not want to spend time in prayer. The flesh does not want to go to church. It doesn't want things that are holy in your life. The flesh wants the wicked things in your life. Your flesh just as much as my flesh. And if you don't walk in the Spirit, you're not going to have the fruit of the Spirit. You'll have the works of the flesh in your life. Christian, I want to challenge you today. Don't ignore God during the holiday time. Don't ignore God. Don't put God on hold and say, "God, I'll see you in a few months. I'll talk to you on January 1st when the holidays are done, because I've got too many things going on." Well, if we have too many things going on to walk with God, then we have just too many things going on. Stop what you're doing and spend time with God. Don't ignore God. If you're going to walk in the Spirit, you can't ignore God, but also don't ignore God, but don't give the devil an opening to attack. You know, one day of walking in the flesh could ruin you. Think about that for a minute. One day of walking in the flesh, not walking with God, letting your flesh take over and giving Satan an opening to attack your life and your home and your family, could ruin and change the course of your future and of your life. One day, one moment, one choice. If we understood the gravity of how important it is to spend time with God and to walk in the Spirit every day, we would spend a whole lot better of quality or amount of time with the Lord than we do, realizing the devil is looking to attack. He's looking to attack your home, parents and children, single or senior saints. He's looking for an attack. Don't give the devil an opening. He's looking, but don't let him come in. The Bible says, "Resist the devil and he will flee from you." You've got to close all the doors, lock them up. Don't let the devil inside. He's looking to attack. But if you walk in the Spirit, Satan has no power over a Christian unless if we allow him in our lives. Don't place confidence in the flesh. Don't place confidence. Too many times we think, "Well, I'm sure I can go about today and I'll be fine without God. I mean, I'm too busy. I'll get to God later on or tomorrow or next week." Don't place confidence in your flesh. Know this: your flesh is wicked and your flesh is weak. You and I, your flesh is wicked and your flesh is weak, and it wants to destroy your life. See, you have an enemy without, that's the devil, but you also have an enemy within, that's your flesh. And the Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You must walk in the Spirit. If you're gonna live peaceably with all men, you must first of all start with you about walking with God. You say, well, Pastor Becker, I'm in church today. That doesn't mean you're walking with God. You say, well, I lived my whole life in church. That doesn't mean you're walking with God. You say, well, I'm saved. That doesn't mean you're walking with God. Let me ask you this. When are you going to get serious about spending time with the Lord? Getting a real dedicated time every day of spending time with God. So number one, walk in the Spirit. And when you walk in the Spirit, you'll be controlled by the Spirit. In Proverbs chapter 25, verse 28, it says this, he that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. See, if I don't walk in the Spirit, capital S, the Holy Spirit, then my spirit is going to be controlled by anything and everything that comes my way. You say, well, you don't know what they said to me and what they did to me. The Bible says to rule your own spirit. And if you don't rule your spirit like a city that's broken down, where the walls are broken down and the enemy can just come on inside, walk in the Spirit. Number two is this, watch your tongue. Watch your tongue. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. The rest of the passage talks about not getting vengeance to your enemies. And no, I'm not relating your family to enemies, but if that be the case, maybe it would be. But to not get vengeance, but vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. It says in the last verse, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with what? With good. Too many times we act like the children do, you know, and the kids come and they go, Mom, so-and-so hit me. What do you say? Well, what did you do to them? Right? They're pretty much tattling on themselves, all right? They were involved in the fight, but they're going to go blame it on somebody else. Too many times we say, well, I didn't start the fight, but did you get involved in the fight? I didn't start the issue, but did you keep it going? Amen. Number two, if you're going to keep peace during the holidays, watch your tongue. In Proverbs 18:21, it says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Think about that. Death and life. The most powerful things in this world are death and life. And the Bible says, in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. The tongue is a powerful weapon and tool in our body for either good or bad. The Bible says in the book of James, I challenge you on your own to go back and read through James chapter number 3. I'll read you a few verses. It says this, and I'll skip through a few verses. It says, for in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. The Bible relates the tongue in the book of James it's slipping my mind right now. The bit in the horse's mouth, that bit that turns about that whole powerful horse as you turn the reins and it turns that horse. It talks about the tongue is like a rudder that moves the ship, and also relates it to a spark and a fire that can set off a forest fire. How powerful our tongue is. The Bible continues on to say this, behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Skipping down, it says, therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Listen to this last verse. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. That a Christian would speak blessing in one moment and cursing another moment. The Bible says, these things ought not so to be. In other words, saying we should watch what we say and use our tongue for what's right, and not for things that are evil. Watch your tongue. Be careful. You get around in conversations and sometimes you realize, I need to leave this conversation before I get involved in the conversation, or before I say something that I shouldn't say. If you're thinking it, don't say it. Amen? Many times we let ungodly and wicked words come out of our mouth that are hurtful and angry and bitter, and it's like a poison that goes out and hurts people around us, words of gossip or anger or jealousy, maybe words that are inappropriate, and we let our words slip out and we're hurting and destroying people in our path. Instead, our words should be words of love and peace and kindness and forgiveness and encouragement and uplifting words, and not words of being hurtful and angry. See, an unruly tongue, it will hurt your testimony. It will hurt innocent people around you. But a godly tongue will be uplifting and healing and helping to point people to the Lord. I want to challenge you, when you get together with family, I want to encourage you to watch what you say. To think about what you say and pray that God would help you to watch your tongue. You know, many times the things that you want to say are the things you shouldn't say. Right? The things that you think might be funny or might be a quick jab back at someone, and you think, I shouldn't say it. And what did your parents say to bite your tongue? I was in the generation where you got your mouth washed out with soap if you didn't say something that you were supposed to say. And my that was fun. Sometimes it was a bar. Sometimes it was a pump of soap. That's probably, I don't know if that is good or bad, but you said something you shouldn't. You're like, you're getting a bar of soap. You're like, oh, great. That's probably not great parenting, but that's the generation I grew up in, young people. You're not suffering. Don't worry. Don't let your tongue just run loose and just mow people down in its path because you're just having a bad day. Instead, bite your tongue, ask the Holy Spirit to control you and to watch your tongue. Number three is this, keeping peace during the holidays. First is walk in the Spirit. Number two is to watch your tongue. Number three is to witness to the lost. Many people are going to get together with someone that's lost during the holidays. Someone that doesn't know Christ as their Savior, and they don't know that heaven's their home. What a great opportunity to be a witness to those that are lost at your dinner table in the next couple of months. What a great opportunity. You say, but Uncle so-and-so, they don't want to hear the gospel. I want to give you a few challenges and encouragement with this about witnessing to the lost. Be praying for the lost. If you know that there's going to be someone in your home or a home where you're going to that's not saved, pray that God would direct your conversation to give them the gospel. Pray that God would give you a time where you could slip outside together or sit on the couch together, and you could simply open your mouth and pray and say, do you know for sure that you're saved and you're going to heaven? You say, well, I've asked them before. Well, ask them again. Say, I've been praying for you. Have you been thinking about it? Be praying for opportunities to witness to the lost. Some say this, well, I don't want to bring up religion around the holidays. You know, let's throw religion out the window and let's just talk about Jesus. Amen? Let's talk about salvation. We don't need to bring up the religion and the politics and all this stuff just to get everyone angry. But you can talk about Jesus. Amen? And you can say, but God loves you. And He wants you to be in heaven. You know this, that it could be your last opportunity to be a witness to that person. The person maybe you see once a year, once every few years, you could be a witness to that person and to share the love of Christ with them and how they can know that they're going to heaven. I can't think of a greater opportunity to take during these holidays than to tell someone about Jesus. Here, coming up sometime this week, we'll have our flyers and our tracks in for our Christmas musical. I don't know if you know this. It's only a couple weeks after Thanksgiving. It's coming really quick. And we're supposed to have those here, I think, on Tuesday night, I believe. To have those here, I think. I'm trying to get the nod. I believe we're good to go on that. Praise the Lord. We got those ordered. They should be here. But we have Christmas invitations for you to take out and to pass and invite to people to the musical that our choir has been practicing for months. And in the musical is songs about the Lord and about salvation. We'll be an invitation time and a brief gospel witness and message as well. I can't think of anything better to do during the holidays than to tell someone about Jesus. Look for opportunities to tell someone about the Lord. Now, you don't have to get your Bible and stand up on the table and start preaching hellfire and damnation to everyone in the room and start blasting everyone. Don't do that, all right? Or you might get blasted yourself. All right? But pray for opportunities that God would give to you. Be looking for opportunities to be a witness. And be sensitive to the Holy Spirit's leading. Be sensitive to the Holy Spirit's leading that God would direct your heart to talk to someone about the Lord. And then number four and lastly tonight is this. Work on keeping a good testimony. The Bible says this again, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Work at keeping a good and a godly testimony. You know that it takes a lifetime to build a good and a godly testimony, but you can lose it in just a moment. In one moment of something that you say or something that you do or some place that you go, you can lose your godly testimony that you have in your home and your family. I understand this, and not everyone that you go to visit with the holidays might be saved or walking with God or right with God or following the Lord. You're a testimony of God. You and I were a testimony, and you think, well, it's the holidays, I'm just with family or I'm just with people. Your testimony matters even during the holiday time and maybe even so much more. Christians should still live a holy and a separated life even during the holidays. Too many times Christians think it's the holidays, throw away your beliefs and your separation, your standards, and you just get to live how you want during the holidays. Well, I'm thankful that I'm saved all year long, aren't you? All year long. So we should live like a Christian all year long as well, shouldn't we? Amen. Christians should live holy and separated. And you might say, well, everyone else is watching, fill in the blank. I've had a number of holidays where I had to leave the room because someone was watching something I shouldn't participate with as a child, sometimes even as an adult. And you say, I'm not going to partake in that. I'm going to slip out of the room. I don't need to preach at everyone, but I don't need to participate in what's going on here. You say, well, everyone is drinking this, or everyone's talking about this, or everyone's going to this place. Well, what would God have for you to do? I think what it comes down to is this. Do you want to please God or please men? Do you want to please God or please people? Again, I'm not here to try to blaspheme with this, not living for God, but also I'm not going to participate with that just because other family might be participating in that as well. Work on keeping a good and a godly testimony. Again, your godly testimony can be thrown away in just a moment of time. In just a moment, you can throw away a godly testimony and to where that person, you can't be a witness to them. You can't encourage them or point them to the truth now because you've thrown away your good and godly testimony. I was thinking in the Bible about the relationship of David and Saul in the Bible. David and Saul was not a very good and healthy relationship. But if you think about it, after David killed Goliath, he was given the daughter of Saul. And so Saul was David's father-in-law. And after David had killed Goliath and the praise of men and women, and they danced and sang, and Saul is slain his thousands, but David is tens of thousands. And what did Saul do? He got jealous at him, didn't he? And he started having evil thoughts towards him, and he looked for opportunities to hurt David and even to kill him. Now look at this. They were family, right? And not only were they family, but Saul was still David's king. And Saul was seeking for David's life, and he'd throw javelins at him many times. He hunted him down like a dog into caves, into foreign lands, and sought to take his life. There was a time where Saul came in to kill David, and he had some men with him, and they were in a cave. And while they were in there, Saul and his men were sleeping, and David came in there, and he saw Saul, and he cut off just a piece of his garment. And they went out to the mouth of the cave and told him they were there, and he found out it was David. And Saul had repented of what he did and said, "You could have taken my life." I want to read a couple verses here, and it says this, that after David had cut off a piece of his clothing, it says, "And it came to pass afterward that David's heart smote him because he had cut off Saul's skirt. And he said unto his men, The Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth mine hand against him, seeing he is anointed of the Lord." Now, had Saul done wrong to David? Yes, he had. Had he done a whole lot of wrong to him? Yeah. I mean, would you have said there was anything wrong in David protecting himself to take Saul's life because he was hunting him down? You'd say, if someone's trying to kill me, I am in the right to take their life back in return. You would say that, wouldn't you? But David said, this is the Lord's anointed. And he said, I should not lift up mine hand against the Lord's anointed. And he repented of what he'd even cut off a piece of his clothing. I think of David in his life. David was not perfect, but David sought the best that he could to keep a right relationship with his king, with his father-in-law, and to do his best to live peaceably with him. Is it always easy to live peaceably with other people? No, it's not. Some people make it really hard. And some people make it really, really hard. It's like their life's goal to try to step on people's toes and make jabs at the meal and the decorations and the stuff. And you're like, I'm just not going to say anything, but you're making it really hard not to say anything. You're like, is it wrong if I think it and don't say it? I want to encourage you about keeping peace during the holidays. Again, I hope and I pray that you get a chance to spend time with friends and family and loved ones. But I want to encourage you about keeping peace. Keeping peace doesn't mean throwing away your standards. It doesn't mean throwing away your beliefs and I'm just going to do whatever they want because I'm going to live peaceably with them. We should live right before God, first of all, and then peaceably before men, second of all. I want to challenge you and encourage you. Maybe there's a relationship that God put on your heart and your mind, and you're looking forward to that relationship and thinking, that's going to be a difficult one. I'm praying about that one. And my prayer is that you think ahead and that God would direct your heart and your mind and your spirit to how could I deal with this person in this situation in the right manner. With head bowed and eyes closed tonight, we thank you, Lord, for the night, the challenge that I need for my life about living peaceably and living right before others, not dropping our standards, not dropping our convictions, but living right before you and before others as well. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to keep a good and a godly testimony, to be a gospel witness to someone, that we'd see a loved one, a friend, a neighbor, a relative to come to know Christ as their Savior, maybe to point someone back to the Lord that's walked away from God. Maybe the challenge is to right some wrongs that we've made in our lives, that we've hurt someone, and things that we need to get right with others as well. Lord, I pray that you would do a work that only you can do in our hearts and our lives. With head bowed and eyes closed, would you stand to your feet? We'll have an invitation time tonight. If God spoke to your heart, the altar's open. Would you come and spend time with the Lord tonight?